Thank God for a destiny. Praise God. The destiny of the believer. Tonight we're going to entitle this subject, Understanding the Believer's Greatest Hope, Heaven. Amen. It is the believer's, how many believe that? It is the believer's greatest hope is a place called heaven. And I pray by the time we're through with this series that heaven will become so real to all of us that we're going to understand what I just said. And it's going to come very, very real to us. Now, God has not told us everything about heaven, but he has told us many things and probably many more things than what most of us know. And so the more I can find out about heaven convinces me that the better off I am. Amen. Because I'm convinced that it will sharpen my desire to go. It will intensify that drive and that hunger to be there. You see, there's a lot of people that don't really even think about heaven that much. I remember a few years ago now, preaching the camp meeting in Alaska. Brother and sister Nathaniel Urshan were the daytime speakers. I've mentioned this before. But I preached a message one night on the subject of heaven. And the next day, Sister Urshan, here is a patriarch of the faith, came to me and said, Brother Cox, please keep preaching that message. She said, I travel all over the country, and I never hear preaching on heaven. Nobody's preaching about it. And I thought, Lord, that is the truth. It's just a subject that we're really not focused on. We tried to think all afternoon today about a chorus we could sing before I taught. As far as I know, this church don't sing any choruses about heaven. Maybe you thought of one that I haven't. But I don't think we sing any choruses about heaven. As something as wonderful and as thrilling as that place is. Amen. I found it interesting several years ago to read the epitaph on some people's tombstones. Anybody ever like to read those epitaphs? And I thought this one was quite good. The epitaph on one tombstone said, here lies the body of old man Pease, buried beneath the flowers and trees. But Pease ain't here, just the pod. Pease shelled out and went to God. I like that. In a tombstone out in the northwest portion of our country, a fifth grader class in Sunday school was being taught about the gospel and salvation, and the teacher was trying to get across to them that you really have to have a relationship with God to be saved, that good works won't save you. And that was the main point that she was trying to drive home. And so she began to teach her class. And she began to say, if I sold everything and gave the money to the church, would that get me into heaven? And those fifth graders said, no. And then they said, if I cleaned somebody's house and mowed their yard and planted flowers for them and etc., would that get me into heaven? And they all said no. And she said, if I was kind to animals and to my friends and loved my family, would that get me into heaven? And they said no. And so she asked the question, then how can I get to heaven? And a little boy that had not been to Sunday school hardly at all shouted from the back row, well, teacher, you got to be dead. You got to be dead. And that's true. The only way that I know how you can get to heaven without being dead is the rapture of the church. And isn't that a wonderful subject? But more than likely, more people are going to go to heaven by way of death than are going to go by way of the rapture. And three people die every second on planet Earth. That means 180 people every minute die. 11,000 every hour, 250,000 every day leave this world and go into heaven or hell. We need to think about that. 250,000 people every day check out of this world and go to their eternal destiny. Something tells me we need to be concerned about where we're going. And it doesn't matter whether you've got gray hair. It doesn't matter whether you've got wrinkles. It doesn't matter whether your age has reached a certain mark. We better realize that 250,000 every day, and some of them are old, but some of them are young and middle-aged, but they're dying. The last time I read the statistics on it, I found out that the death rate now is 100%. That's right. Everybody's dying. Nobody misses it. It's appointed and a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. Can you say amen? And so heaven is rarely referred to from the pulpits of America because the church doesn't have heaven on its mind. They have become self-centered and indulgent, more excited about prosperity than paradise. More excited about the payoff in this world than the world to come. When you lose your focus on a place called heaven, then you start living for the now. And when you start living for the now, your living is not going to be right. You'll be living for paychecks. You'll be living to acquire things. You'll be living to be blessed. You'll be living to just get what you can get down here upon this earth. And that is not the way we should live. The Barna polls say that there is relatively no difference in the morals of unbelievers than Christians nowadays. Now, when they say Christians, of course, we understand that they're referring to Christendom as from one end of the spectrum to the other. But of all Christian faiths, they say when you study it out and find out how they're living and what kind of morals they live, that they can find little difference between the morality of the believers who call themselves believers and those who call themselves unbelievers. And I attribute that tonight to the fact that nobody is thinking about going to heaven. Somebody say amen. Because I'm convinced that if you're hungry to get there, you're going to start doing the right things down here that will accomplish whatsoever you have to do to get to heaven. Amen. How many hear me tonight? I'm talking about when you really understand how wonderful heaven's going to be, nobody's going to have to intimidate you to pray. Nobody's going to have to beg you to be faithful to the house of God. Nobody is going to have to somehow cause you to want to be faithful with your giving. Amen. It's just got it built in the package. I want to go to heaven, so I want to do the right things that's going to get me there. Amen. A woman I read about some time back refused to talk about death and about an afterlife. And here's the reason she did. She didn't want to talk about death and the afterlife to her children. And this was her reason, because she didn't want her children to be disappointed if there was no afterlife. Now, can you imagine how foolish that what I just said is? She didn't want her children to be disappointed if there was no afterlife. Friend, if there's no afterlife, no one will have any consciousness. So how could they be disappointed? The foolishness of such a statement. They could not be disappointed. Solomon, the richest man and the wisest man that ever lived, tried to find heaven on earth. And he tried to find it in withholding nothing from himself. He went after everything that he could go after to create a paradise, and going after everything that he could. But when he came to the end of that kind of a lifestyle, he come to the conclusion that it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. There's nothing there. It's empty. It's hollow. If you just live for this world, there's nothing true and sure and real. I want to consider some foundational truths tonight about heaven. And one of the first things I want to talk about is the prominence of heaven. When I say the prominence, I mean the prominence of heaven in this book right here. Now, people aren't preaching this book. That's why they're not preaching heaven. But heaven is prominent in this book. Amen. Heaven is mentioned over 500 times in the Bible. 500 times. In the Old Testament, the word that's translated heaven is shamim, and it's a word that means the heights or a high place. In the New Testament, the word translated heaven is Uranus, which inspired the name of the planet Uranus, and it also means that which is raised up or lofty, a heavenly place. And so it is that there are, now listen carefully because I don't want to lose anybody here on the very first night. We're going to take our time going through this series. Somebody asked me how many lessons is this going to take? It's going to take as many as we need to take to be able to thoroughly get into the subject and allow ourselves to truly understand. So now listen carefully. In when we're talking about heaven, some people don't understand that there are literally three heavens. Three heavens. And the first heaven is the atmospheric heaven. And we find this out in Isaiah 55 and 9. If you'd like to turn there. If not, look on the screen. But it might do good to just do a little Bible work tonight. Isaiah 55 and 9. The first heaven is referred to as the atmospheric heaven. And verse 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth." What is he talking about? A heaven that's just a little higher than the earth. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so the first heaven is the atmospheric heaven, that envelope of atmosphere of oxygen and gases and clouds and all of that that surround the earth. And that makes up the first heaven. Also, if you notice Genesis chapter 1 and the 20th verse, you find this, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly, and moving creatures that hath life, and fowl that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." So this heaven is the heaven that birds fly in. It's the heaven that the atmosphere is made up of. Everybody say the first heaven. And now let's go to the second heaven, because we find also there is a second heaven. If you've not turned away, just go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14. It says, "And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Now, what divides the day from the night? The sun. So the second heaven is that planetary heaven. The heaven where the sun is, where the moon is, where the stars are. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let there be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, give light upon the earth, and it was so. Can you say amen? And God made two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. So how many understands now where the second heaven is? The second heaven is the what they call the stellar heaven or the starry heaven, where all the planets, the galaxies, the solar systems and all are above the atmospheric heaven. Now, there is a third heaven, and I want us to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and beginning with verse number 2 through verse number 4, we find these words. I knew a man, this is the Apostle Paul, and don't be confused by the way he's saying this, because he's not talking about somebody other than himself. He's talking about himself. But he says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. He said, whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. Paul is telling us about an experience that he had. He said, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise. Now, how many saw that Paul just talked about the place he was caught up being the third heaven? And then he turns around and says, this same individual that was caught up was in paradise. So he is telling us that the third heaven is a place of paradise. And paradise is the place where the presence of the Lord dwells and the glory of God resides. Can you say amen? And so it is that Paul had an experience. Now, some people believe, and I tend to agree with them, that what happened, remember in Paul's life, there was a time when the city of Lystra pulled Paul out of their city and stoned him and left him for dead. And the Bible says that they left him, they really did think he was dead. But God raised him back alive, and he got up and went on his way preaching the gospel. Now, I believe that that is the time in which Paul received this experience, this out-of-body experience, if you please. He said, I really don't know. I might have been in the body and caught up there, or I might have been out of the body. He said, I really don't know. But he says, one thing I do know, I caught a glimpse of a third heaven. And that third heaven was a paradise. It was a most remarkable place. And he said, I saw that for myself. Can you say amen? So paradise is the third heaven. It's God's dwelling place. He told us how to pray, and when he taught us how to pray, he told us to do this, pray in this manner, Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, I don't believe we have to be confused there. He was not talking about the atmospheric heaven, and he was not talking about the starry heaven. He was talking about the paradise heaven, the third heaven, if you please. And he told us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That's where our Father is. That's where God is. He is in heaven. Psalms chapter 11 verse 4 says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men." I'm glad I found out where the Lord's throne is. It's in a place of paradise. It is in a third heaven, and the throne of God exists there. Can you say amen? Amen? So the place of heaven is John 14, 1 through 3, if you'd like to turn there. The gospel according to John, verses 1 through 3. Where we find these words, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Somebody say amen. Amen. Now the third heaven, somebody say it's paradise. It's paradise, and it's a place that Jesus Christ went to prepare a place for us. He didn't go to the first heaven to prepare that. He prepared that at the creation. He didn't go to the second heaven to prepare that. He prepared that at the creation. But later in time, he went to the third heaven called paradise. And there he created the third heaven. And he created a place that he said it was called his Father's house. All of these words are interchangeable. Heaven, paradise, the Father's house. And I'm going to add a few more as we go on. And he went to heaven to prepare a place. Somebody say it's a place. This third heaven, this paradise, is a place. Now that's important, because some people will try to tell you that all heaven is a state of consciousness. That it's just an attitude of your mind. It's just some kind of an altered state of awareness. But it's not true. Heaven is a place. Just like this is a place. And this is also a place. And where you're sitting is a place. Heaven, the third heaven, the Father's house, is a place. And don't let anybody tell you that it's just something that goes on in the minds of individuals. There are many metaphors in the Bible for heaven. And it's referred to as a country. It's referred to as the celestial city. It's referred to as the kingdom. It's referred to as the Father's house. It's referred to as a paradise. It's referred to as Abraham's bosom. And on and on and on are descriptive terminology for what heaven is referred to. Heaven is not a thought or a projection of your imagination. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Now, if he went to prepare a place for us, don't you think that we ought to be preparing ourselves to go to that prepared place? Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. And so he went to prepare a place for us. I looked up that word place in the Greek, and it's the word topos. And it is in the Greek topos, which means a locatable place. It's not just a state of mind. It's a place that you can locate. If I was going to tell you how to get to I-80, I could give you the directions on how to get to I-80. It's a locatable place. The interchange of I-80 and Halstead is a locatable place. And the word topos there is the word from which we get our word topographical map. And so if a person wants to find something, that a topographical map will show you all the hills and the valleys and all the dimensions and all the things that go along with it. But you can take that and find where you're wanting to go. Topaz is a locatable place. And friend, I'm going to locate that place. I'm going to find that place. My Father has went away to prepare a place for me, that where he is, I am going to be also. He said if it wasn't true, he wouldn't have told us it was true, because God cannot lie. And so if God said we're going to go to a place, we're going to go to a place. Say amen to that. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 10 says this: He that descended is the same that also ascended up far above all heavens. Notice the plurality there, heavens. The Lord ascended far above all heavens, above the atmospheric heaven, above the starry heaven, to the next heaven is where the Lord ascended to. When we ask ourselves the question, where is heaven? Somebody say, it is up. Say it again, it is up. Heaven is up. That's why the word says, he that descendeth is the same that also ascended. He went up. And far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Acts chapter 1, verse 10 and 11 says, And while they looked up steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. I don't know if you kept track, but in one verse there, we found out in four places that heaven is up. Heaven is up. It's up above the atmospheric heaven. It's up above the starry heaven, and it's up in the third heaven. Now, which way is up? That's what we got to ask ourselves. Stay with me now. Because you see, we are on a round earth. If the earth was flat, we'd all know where up was, because it would be up for all of us. But if we're staying on top of the earth, up for us would be this way. But if we're over on this side of the earth, earth for us would be this way. You understand what I'm saying? Or if you're down beneath this round earth, up for you would be this way. And so we've got to understand, if we're going to locate this place called heaven that is up, how can we find it? Well, you are on the earth, and is heaven just at a right angle from the earth? Just here's the earth, and heaven's always at a right angle? I don't believe so. I believe you can locate it even better than that. And I want us to see the Word of God in Isaiah, There's a description of the fall of Lucifer in the 14th chapter of Isaiah. And this is described to us as the fall of Lucifer from heaven. Now, if we can find scripture that tells us where heaven, where Lucifer fell from, then we can find scripture to tell us where heaven's at. Y'all follow me? And so, why was Lucifer cast out? Well, let's look at verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For there thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Huh. Notice that. In the sides of the north. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be, the devil speaking here, like the Most High. So, we have just found out the locatable place called heaven. It is up, but it's not just up any direction. It's up in the sides of the north. Say amen. The sides of the north. I'm convinced that you really can't locate up by going east or by going west. But if you can find north or south, you can locate that. Because you can only go so far north, and then you got to go back south again. And you can only go so far south, then you got to go north again. And some of you are looking at me like I just fell off a turnip truck. But when you go east and west, you can just keep going east forever and ever and ever. We can just keep going west forever and ever and ever. You understand that? But the Bible says that the place that the devil wanted to exalt himself above was the throne of God, and that place was the sides of the north. Let me tell you what I found out the other day. It was something so exciting because I found out that the astronomers have found out that there is a place that the astronomers can look at in the north of our earth, looking northward from our earth. They have found a place where it seems like that there are very few planets in one area, very few stars in one area. Now, don't go out looking for that place tonight, because with your natural eye, you're not going to find it. But with the strongest telescopes, they have found that there's an area in the north that is got just a lot fewer stars, planets, and all than all the other places that they turn their telescope upon. And friend, that's exciting, because could it possibly be that that is the topaz, the locatable place that heaven is going to be in? It's up, that qualifies it, but also it is a locatable place, and it's in the sides of the north. Oh, praise God. Now, that really don't matter all that much, except if the Bible is going to mention it, I want to find out about it. It's not going to deter me whether I want to go there or not. Heaven and its location can be anywhere, and I'll still want to go. But I still believe that this is such a precious place. Anything you can tell me about it, tell me more. Tell me more. I want to hear more about this place called heaven. Can you say amen? Heaven is also a precious place, not just a place that is, you know, spoken of often, but it's a precious place. Everything near and dear to us will be there. Your Redeemer is going to be there. Somebody say Jesus is going to be there. That's what heaven is going to be about, is Jesus Christ. It really don't matter about streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper. It really don't matter about all of that. And yet I love to study it and I love to contemplate it. And it's going to be so overwhelming and mind-boggling. But at the same time, the most precious thing is that our Redeemer is going to be there. Hebrews 9:24 says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." He didn't go into the Old Testament tabernacle, he said, a place that was made by hands, but he has entered into the third heaven, paradise, Abraham's bosom, the third heaven, and prepared a place for us. And so our Jesus is going to be there. All the beauty and the splendor of heaven will pale in comparison to the face of Jesus Christ. Or did you hear what I said? As wonderful as it's going to be, and friend, you're going to be overwhelmed by everything you see and everything you experience. But as wonderful as that is, it's going to pale in comparison to the face of Jesus Christ. One author, you remember, wrote the chorus or song many years ago, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. When we see Christ, one glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run this race till we see Christ." Oh, hallelujah. Not till we see streets of gold, not till we see walls of jasper, but until we see Jesus Christ. That is the most precious thing that's going to be there, and we're going to behold him. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23 says, "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written or registered in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." Thank God, the general assembly of God's people is going to be registered in heaven. Amen. Thank God for, you know, being able to go into a motel when you're tired and that you can say, "I have a reservation." And they can say, "Yes, I see where you have registered." And the same thing goes true with heaven. The general assembly of the firstborn has been registered in heaven. And God, the judge of all men. Can you say amen? Amen. Have you been thinking about those that you're going to see when you get to heaven? I'm talking about the preciousness of heaven. Have you been thinking about the family members that you saw go to the grave years ago, grandparents and great-grandparents, and they walked this walk and they fought this fight and they held fast to the profession of their faith? And thank God that now they're awaiting us on the other side. The preciousness of heaven is a wonderful thing. And so it is that grandparents and friends, and my wife and I the other day were sitting in our home and we were talking, and the longer we talked, the more emotional we got until both of us were weeping. But we got to thinking about 3 years or so after we were married that she became pregnant, and there was a miscarriage, and we never got to see the birth of that child. But we got to talking about it the other day, and we got to talking about how someday, when we get to heaven, we're going to get to see that child. Say, "Oh, Pastor, that's a whimsical thing. That's just fanciful thinking." I don't believe so, friend. I believe that life begins at conception. I don't believe that life begins at birth. I believe when a child is conceived in the womb, there is an eternal soul that takes place. And so some of you that have had some of those same experiences in your life, take heart. there's a grand and glorious reunion day for you someday in heaven. Can you say amen? Our residence is in heaven. According to Philippians 3:20, it says, for our conversation, or the word there is citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How many knows that right now we have no hope in this world? We are pilgrims and strangers and sojourners traveling through this pilgrim land. The Bible says, and Paul said it, if we have hope of this life only, we would be of all men most miserable. Amen. Paul said, set your affection on things above and not on things below. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm getting more homesick for heaven than I've ever been before. Oh, the songwriter said, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That, friend, is the hope of the believer, heaven. And it's a grand and a glorious hope. And so, if you ever forget about heaven, please hold fast to the profession of your faith. If you forget about heaven, then you're going to forget to look up. You're going to forget about that place, and all you're going to have left is to look around. And it's got to be a miserable thing if you don't think about heaven. If all you're thinking about is this world, if all you're thinking about is paying bills and making money and going to jobs and buying things and all of that sort of thing, then you are our friend, probably a miserable individual. But the believer's hope is heaven. Hallelujah. The believer can look past this veil of tears. The believer can look past all of the humdrum of this world. And the believer can look for a time that is yet to come when we're going to be gathered together in the presence of the Lord. Lift your hands with me now and praise the Lord together. And thank Him for that hope of the believer, a place called heaven. Oh God, we have a hope. It's a great hope. It's a glorious hope. It's a marvelous hope. And dear God, if we didn't have that hope, we would be miserable people, because You never intended for this world to have everything we're supposed to have. You never intended, oh God, for this to be all there is. Oh Lord, let us fall in love with this wonderful understanding of a place called heaven. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Amen. According to Matthew 5:12, our rewards are in heaven. The Word of God teaches us that when we get to heaven, that we're going to have rewards given to us. Now, some people say, well, that's I don't even want to talk about that. I don't need any reward. Just getting to heaven is okay with me. Well, listen, it's already in the package. It's part of the deal. And it's a wonderful thing. And we're going to study this before this series is over. There's at least 5 crowns that is offered to the believer. 5 crowns that the believers are going to have opportunity to win in heaven. And so it is that some of these crowns are the victor's crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, and the crown of glory. 5 different crowns. How many would like to find out what those crowns refer to? Amen. Those are some wonderful things. Somebody said, well, what are they going to be good for? The Bible tells us that one day in heaven, according to the book of Revelation, we're going to take our crowns and cast them at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's going to be one of the highest acts of adoration that we're going to have, is after the Lord blesses us with one of the crowns that we're going to get.
then we're going to be able to turn around and throw those crowns at his feet and bless him in worship with one of those crowns. And so our reservation is in heaven. The crowns that we're going to receive are going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, it's not going to happen at the white throne judgment. The believers are not going to be at the white throne judgment. But there's a judgment that's going to happen, and I'm convinced that it's going to happen during the period of time when the 7-year tribulation is upon this earth. During that period of time, there's going to be a judgment seat, and we're going to be judged according to the deeds done in this body. Now, the judgment seat of Christ has nothing to do with whether you make heaven or hell. It is going to be a judgment of rewards, a judgment of what rewards you're going to receive. Can you say praise the Lord? We're going to study some of that, and it's a wonderful study that you're going to be very interested in. The Bible says in Revelation 21:27, "And there shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." That's the main thing we need to be concerned about, is our name written in the Lamb's book of life? Nothing else is going to make it into heaven except those in the Lamb's book of life. Do we have a reservation in heaven? We need to be sure that we do. Can you say amen? And so I heard the other day of an individual by the name of Ruth Anna Metzger. She was a singer. And she sang at a lot of weddings. She was very, very talented. And she sang at this huge, posh wedding. And whenever she got done singing at the wedding, all of the congregation of people went to the place where they were going to have the reception. And it was a glamorous and overwhelming reception for that wedding. And her husband went to the door, and they asked her, the person in charge asked Ruth Ann Metzger, yes, and who are you? Because he had a list of those that he could allow to come in. And she said, I am Ruth Ann Metzger. And he looked down his list, and he said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but I do not have a reservation for a Ruth Ann Metzger. I do not have your name on this list. And she said, but I sang at the wedding. I'm sorry, ma'am. I cannot let anybody in that's name is not on this list. And he took her, or had some usher take her and her husband, and escort them to the elevator, and put them on the elevator and punched the bottom floor. And they went down and exited the building. And when they got in their car, her husband said, honey, what just happened? Why were we just asked to leave the reception? And her response was, I did not RSVP that I would be at the reception. They gave me notice several weeks ago that if I wanted to be at the reception, I had to respond by a certain date. And I didn't think it was necessary, since I thought surely that they would know who I was and that they would allow me to come in. Amen. How many can see a bigger picture than what I'm talking about right here? Because there is going to come a time in which if you don't register for this place I'm talking about tonight, and the only way you can register is through repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the only way you can register is let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from all sin and let your name be written in the Lamb's book of life. Oh, let's praise him a little bit now. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Amen. But there is going to come a time, friend, and the sadness of this story is this. It's one thing to be told that you've got to go down on this elevator and leave the building. But it's another thing altogether to have not registered and be told that you've got to go down. We've already found out that heaven is up. Hell is down. And how tragic and terrible it's going to be, all because people did not take the time to RSVP and to tell somebody, I've made things right and I've taken care of this issue and I'm prepared. And I'm talking to somebody here tonight, and I pray even the saints and those that don't know God would realize that this time we have together upon this earth right now is not a time to while away. It's not a time to just kind of go through life and just to kind of play along and let opportunity slip through your fingers. It's not a time for saints just to kind of, you know, be nonchalant about their calling and election with Jesus. It's not a time for saints not to take it seriously about putting their life in the hands of God. It is a time in which we need to fasten our spiritual eyes on a place that Jesus said, I have gone away to prepare for you. A place that when I go away, I shall return and I will receive you unto myself. How many want to be prepared for that place tonight? Amen. Stand with me if you would. I want to be prepared for that place. I want to be ready for that place. I want to be secure in my faith and secure in my walk with God. I want to know for sure that everything is all right between me and my Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 5:24 says this. Listen to it. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. Keep that up there because I want you to see that. What does that mean? It means at the very moment of time, now, while you have opportunity, you can bow your knee in prayer. You can call out to the name of Jesus. You can repent and be water baptized in his name and be filled with his Spirit. And when that happens, you are sending your sins on ahead to be judged. And the Lord's blood is going to judge your sins and take care of the penalty for those sins. But if you do not allow his blood to judge your sins now, then you leave God with only one alternative. Your sins are going to have to follow you until you stand before a white throne judgment. Because everybody's going to be judged. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. But the person that does not reconcile with their sins today, if our musicians would come, that did not reconcile with their sins today, are people, they're going to have to face their sins at the white throne judgment tomorrow. They're going to follow after them. That's a sobering thought. And I'll tell you why it's sobering. Because nobody is going to go away rejoicing at the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is not a place where some are going to be determined that they got to go to hell and they got to go to heaven. No, friend. the white throne judgment, all that stand before God on that day are going to go to hell. Think about it. They're going to be lost forever and ever and ever. Their sins are going to follow after them and condemn them before God. In the name of Jesus, help us, O Lord, to realize that and the seriousness of that. In the name of the Lord. You see why? Somebody says, then what's the purpose of the white throne judgment? If nobody's going to leave there and be saved. Because God has determined that everybody's going to have their day in court. Everybody. It's like somebody that has been caught red-handed in a crime. Everybody saw them pull the trigger and murder somebody. They did it in the face of many witnesses. And everybody saw them. And there's no doubt of their guilt or of their innocence. But yet they are taken and they're put in prison. According to the law system of our land, we cannot just take them there and take their life from them or bring punishment and retribution upon them. They're going to have their day in court. And so, even though they are guilty, they are brought before the white throne judgment. And the Lord is going to pronounce judgment upon them. And everybody that stands before that judgment is going to end up in the terrible, terrible place of the lake of fire. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a place where death and hell someday is going to be cast into the lake of fire. You say hell in itself is a temporary place. And eventually hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire. But the sadness about all of that is this. And that is, there's no hope once you step into eternity. If all you got to look forward to is a white throne judgment, there's going to be no mercy shown at the white throne judgment. Nobody's going to be going to find salvation at the white throne judgment. In Jesus' name. God help us. God help us. I pray for this congregation right now, Lord. I pray for every man, every woman. I pray for every individual in this place. And I ask you, dear God, that you would somehow challenge us to begin to think more about the eternal things and less about the temporal things. Think more about the things of eternal weight of glory and so much less about acquiring and attaining. Because, Lord, those things are not important. If we gain all of them and lose our soul, how miserable we're going to be. In the name of Jesus, help us, Lord. Somebody say amen. Let me tell you tonight in closing, the next time we get together for a Bible study on this subject, we're going to begin by asking the question, where are they now? You want to know what happens to a believer and an unbeliever if they die today? Where do they go? Where are they? What is going on with them? We're going to want to find that out. We're going to have to find out what Abraham's bosom is, or paradise. Is it something different, or is it the same thing as heaven? We're going to find out what happens to the soul of an individual that dies now. Do we just go to sleep? A lot of verses talk about those that are asleep in Christ. Do we literally go to sleep until the resurrection day? Or do we have a consciousness and awareness? with our soul and our spirit that is going to be a wonderful place of paradise. How many want to find out as much as you can find out about this? Let's lift our hands and praise Him again. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I praise You. I worship You. I glorify You. I give You the glory that only You deserve. Oh, my God, I say thank You. I thank You for honest-hearted people. I thank You for hungry hearts that want to live for You, Lord, with everything that is within them. In the name of Jesus. Go with us now, Lord, from this place, but don't allow us to leave from Your presence. Go after each one of us and help us to realize, Lord, that this message is not just for us, but it's for everybody we know and all of our loved ones. And they need to hear about an eternal place and that they've got an eternal soul that's going to live forever somewhere. And God, we've got an obligation to tell them about that. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's believe God for a great weekend. That God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. You're